This is If It Ain't Got That Swing by Taryn P. Lupo, narrated by Adam Lishua. If you enjoy this audiobook, please consider supporting the author by purchasing this book on websites such as Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Preface. Laws became harsher as Hitler rose to power in Germany. He first launched a propaganda war on the Jewish culture to demonize them before blatantly exterminating them. The Führer outlawed swing music and jazz because of its black and Jewish overtones. A youth counterculture developed and defied these restrictive mandates. As a form of rebellion, swing kids created their own underground clubs. The members worshipped anything Hollywood or swing-related. They copied the styles and lexicon they saw in American movies. The men would dress like gangsters, and the women would wear copious amounts of makeup. The swing kids would try to cram in as much lingo as they could as an act of defiance to the strict Nazi climate. The teens called each other terms of endearment such as Swingjugend, swing youth, Swingpapen, swing popes, Hotter and Hotlers, from hot, Jazzkatze, jazz cats, and Swingpuppe, for swing doll. A general term for female dancer was a Sam, Samantha, and a male swing kid was referred to as a Charlie. Even owning just a jazz record could earn one a trip to a re-education camp or worse. Citizens were reminded to only speak of Hitler through a flower. In other words, only say beautiful things about him. A knock at the door from the Gestapo was rapidly becoming people's greatest fear. The rain was coming down in sheets, and roof lines were launching streams of water into the muddy road. The Panzer tank screeched as it changed direction and headed down the slick street. A small cat was too busy chomping down on a chicken leg someone discarded to pay attention to the approaching steel behemoth. A woman's frantic voice yelled at the feline, but the pounding storm drowned her out. She removed her shoes and took a step into the dirt road. Her foot sank into the brown stew and locked into place. Heidi screamed at her cat as she tugged at her trapped foot. The white kitty pulled a hunk of chicken off the bone and ignored all else around it. Heidi shouted and waved her arms as the tank rolled into striking distance. A flash of white broke through the downfall as a man in a suit stomped his way out into the muck. With a quick, snatching motion, the kitty was out of harm's way, but it refused to give up its prize. The cat's dirty paw pushed off his coat. The man in the white fedora slogged his way back to the sidewalk and set down the furry sole. Heidi broke free and shook the blackish ooze off her toes. The mysterious stranger held his pant legs in front of the downspout to rinse the filth. As she approached to check on her pet, the man turned down the alley and was enveloped by the rainfall. "Hey, come back! Thank you! I never got your name!" "No, no, 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 Murray! It's 1, 2, 3, and 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8! 3 and 4 and 7 and 8 have an extra shuffle step in there!"
Ethan stomped as he demonstrated. Murray surveyed his feet and sighed. "I never knew it was so hard. Can't we start with something simpler?"
"Not if you want to meet some girls. They are all trying to dance Lindy Hop now. If you want to get on the best dance cards, you need to know at least the basics."
"Why do they call it the Lindy Hop, Ethan? Is that some other American reference?"
Ethan pulled a long strand of hair away from his eyes. "How are you ever going to be a hep cat when you don't even know that? The dance is one of the first dances where you can let go of your partner, dance away, and come back into partner position. Get it?"
Murray Solomon blinked a few times until Ethan shrugged his shoulders.
"I even wonder if there's hope for you at all. America has a famous pilot named Charles Lindbergh who flew a hop across the ocean. One of the Negro dancers at the Savoy nightclub in New York invented this dance. He let go of his partner, did a few moves solo, and then picked her back up and kept dancing. Someone asked him, what was it he just did? And the dancer replied, 'Oh, that. I just took a little Lindy Hop.' Do you get it now? You really got to learn more about American style and dancing if you're going to impress these girls."
Murray watched his shoes and started stepping closely. "Okay, so it's a circular motion instead of just side to side?"
Yep, but try not to look at your feet. Man, we should get you hopping by tonight's party. One of the cats has his own gramophone, and the rumor is he's got Count Basie's new stuff. Should be a big crowd tonight.
Ethan watched Murray fumble across the floor and trip over his own feet. He pinched his nose and shook his head.
Well, if you can't dance, at least you can get togged to the britches. Let me see your suit. Did you get it taken in at the waist like an American gangster?
Murray ran to his closet. Here, check out what I found at the secondhand store. It was a huge coat, but I added buttons to it to make it look like a double-breasted. I had it taken in at the waist like you told me to. Are you sure this is right? This suit looks giant on me and is so baggy.
Ethan examined the coat. This is a great find, Murray. You will be one sharp swing kid. All right, let me see your pants.
Murray sighed and dug out his pants.
I'm still trying to get these mud stains completely out, but look here. I also sewed the leg cuffs up, like you said, so I can show off my shoes. Oh, and check out this extra long chain I got for my pocket watch. I've got to be careful not to trip over this damn thing.
Ethan slapped his friend on the shoulder.
Well, at least you sure look like you can dance. That might save you out there. Maybe the jazz katza will think you're a real hotter now.
Murray cracked a smile. You haven't seen the best part yet. Check out what I got us from my dad's shop. He pulled two matching white fedoras out from his closet. Sometimes having a dad as a haberdasher really comes in handy. I extended the brims on these, so now they are really jiggy. I'm lucky it's not brown. I almost dropped mine last night in that nasty street. I also spent all night cleaning my shoes, too. They were so filthy.
It's your own fault for being such an animal lover. I couldn't believe it when you told me you almost ruined your brand new suit saving some mangy cat.
Ethan donned his cap and tilted it in a rakish style.
Ho-ho, Murray, these are so hep. Great job with the sewing. Look how big these brims are. Your hat-making skills are really coming along. You are going to be great at it when your dad lets you open your own shop.
The two young men adjusted their lids in the mirror and posed. The bedroom door opened, and a heavy-set woman with brown braided hair walked in.
I thought I heard voices in here. Shalom, Ethan. My son didn't tell me you were here.
Ethan waved. Shalom, Mrs. Solomon.
I haven't seen your mother in temple lately. How's she doing?
She was really sick. Her doctor just vanished 2 weeks ago. We couldn't get any help or medication. Fortunately, my dad finally found something to help her. I have no idea where he got it, but I'm not asking any questions. Hopefully, with this tincture and a whole bunch of prayer, she will be back in temple next week.
Oh, that's terrible. How can a doctor just go on vacation like that and not leave a replacement? That seems pretty irresponsible. Anyway, tell her we will be praying for her recovery.
Ethan nodded. I will let her know. I bet she will love to hear that.
You boys don't stay out too late tonight.
With a stern look, Murray's mother exited the room. Ethan poked his friend and mimicked her voice.
Don't stay out too late, son.
Murray chuckled, then held his suit out to the light.
I'm not going to lie. I'm really nervous about wearing this tonight.
I'm not sure I have the courage to poke the Nazis in the eye like that. You know the kind of unwanted attention two Jewish kids dressed like this are going to attract on the streets.
Ethan held his hand up in a mocking Nazi salute, hung his wrist in a limp motion. Heil Hitler!
To hell with those icky tin ears. Anyone who hates swing doesn't have any soul.
Lighten up. I do it all the time. We'll be fine out there. You worry too much. Man, this Nazi thing will pass soon enough.
The white cat jumped up between the two friends and rubbed his black nose against Heidi. She lifted her pet under the armpits and raised it to eye level.
Adolf, you have to start listening to me. You almost became a pancake kitty. Damn you for always thinking with your stomach.
The animal protested being chastised and wormed his way loose. Renati cocked her head.
So, what happened again?
This stupid cat just sat there eating away, and this man dressed in all white came out of the storm and rescued Adolf. He never stuck around long enough for me to even get a good look at him.
Renati scratched Adolf behind his ears.
I am really surprised your dad lets you keep this dirty old thing in your house.
Well, he normally would not, but since this cat's name is Adolf, and his markings remind him of Der Führer, he is too afraid to throw it out.
Adolf raised his head to show off his black spot under his nose, which resembled Hitler's mustache. Another marking ran across the top of his head, which mirrored Hitler's haircut. Renati started chuckling at the reminder.
And look at his black feet, which also look like boots.
The two girlfriends giggled with laughter. Heidi made a gesture to quiet down.
We've got to keep it down. My father is getting ready for his patrol tonight. We don't need him catching us practicing.
Renati smirked.
Relax, I don't think he's going to drag his own daughter to get re-educated. He's too busy chasing Jews these days to worry about what kind of music you listen to.
Heidi held her finger to her lips.
Shh, remember to speak through a flower.
Renati looked over her shoulder at the door.
Don't worry, as long as that's closed, your parents can't hear us.
Heidi dropped her eyes to the floor and mumbled,
You don't know my dad. He thinks anything not pure German is wrong. I've watched him change over the years. He's really eating this Nazi trash up. Like, the other day, he scolded me for not having my hair in a proper German braid. He actually called my Mutti in and made her rebraid it. He said, Proper German girls do not wear their hair down and out of control like a Jewish harlot. He would lock us both away if he knew about all the makeup and dazzle dust we're going to wear tonight.
The two shared a laugh again and then embraced each other in a dance position.
Renati hunched her posture. The guy will be all bent over like this, but you want to stand straight up. It's almost like he's bowing to you the whole dance.
Heidi exhaled and started counting.
1, 2, 3, and 4. So what step do you start the swing out?
Renati danced across the floor and kept track of her footing.
I think it's the 5 and 6 count. I'm not really sure. I never have to lead. The guy just spins me when he wants.
Heidi furrowed her brow.
That doesn't really help me. I don't want to scare some guy away because I keep stomping his toes. I don't want to look like a flat foot floogie out there.
Renati flashed her devilish whites.
You'll be fine as long as you're not a flat foot floogie with a floy floy.
Heidi leapt to her feet and slapped her friend on the shoulder.
That's so crass. I don't have any sexual diseases. Don't you go around saying I got a floy floy.
Renati howled.
Relax. I am just poking at you. I know you haven't even had a boyfriend. I just wanted to see if you were hep to American Negro swing talk.
The door flew open. What is the meaning of all the laughing? You two better be almost done with your studies. Germany needs educated and proper women to keep the bloodlines pure. You need to take your schooling seriously. Don't you want to help Hitler with his grand vision? You two young ladies need to do your part. Hitler says, fine German women make fine German babies. My job is to make sure a good Nazi boy will want you. Now, get back to studying your nursing.
Heidi squeaked like a mouse. Don't forget, I'm going over later to Renati's house to study over there tonight, too.
He smiled proudly. That's a good girl. Work hard for Hitler.
He threw his hand into the air and then shut the door.
Sieg Heil!
The girls mumbled a half-hearted Sieg Heil and waited for the coast to be clear.
Wow, when did your dad go all Nazi?
I thought he was just a regular soldier. I had no idea he was that far into it.
Renati, it's getting so ridiculous. We now say prayers to Hitler before we eat, and all the dinner time talk is about Nazi ideas. It's getting unbearable.
You know, I don't care about politics. He just seems to be soaking up all this junk and dragging us all with him.
My Mutti secretly hates it all, but is too scared to tell him, so she just goes along with it all.
I'm sure this is a phase. He'll find some new party to get involved with a year from now. Just try and hang in there.
I don't know, Renati. Have you looked outside lately? We can't even walk around anymore without having to show our papers. It seems things are really starting to get strict around here. We need to be extra careful when we go out tonight.
Nonsense, Heidi. Don't worry about the Nazis. Your family is part of them now. You can do anything you want.
Enough of this depressing stuff. Show me what dress you are wearing tonight.
Heidi grinned and rummaged through the closet.
Well, I think this one will work for dancing, but it's not as short as yours.
Sure, we can make you look like a real rug cutter with the right accessories.
I think you just need a bow in your hair and to wear your flats. Those cats really jump, jive, and wail there, but you'll need rug-cutting footwear you don't fall over in.
Wow, Renati, you're getting really good speaking American. You sound so worldly.
Relax, alligator. You'll pick it up.
Did you get hold of some makeup? This is going to be so much fun. Father would flip his top if he saw us all decked out tonight.
Renati dug through her satchel. Take a look at all this great stuff I lifted from my mom.
She held up a hard metal tin. I got us enough makeup to doll us all up like an American movie star.
The teen pulled out a small leather bag of face powder.
I even found some dazzle dust.
Finally, she dug out a metal tube.
And look at this hep color lip liner I got for my sister.
Heidi squealed.
It's purple! Oh, this is going to be so much fun. I can't wait for tonight.
Murray checked his pocket watch and tucked it back into his vest.
I think we're pretty late, Ethan. Are you sure they're dancing?
Ethan straightened his lapel. Oh, yes, don't worry. They'll still be hopping. The real swingers are just showing up.
The two young men looked over their shoulder and darted down a back alley. Murray nervously fiddled with his cufflinks.
I'm having second thoughts about all of this. I mean, look at us. Two Jewish guys dressed like American gangsters? We're just begging to be slapped around by the patrols.
Ethan stopped and got eye to eye with his friend.
So that's it, huh? Some bullshit political party starts pushing around us Jews, and you just want to lock yourself up in your house and stop living.
Have some courage, Hepcat! Nobody will know you're even Jewish in here! This place is going to be overrun with girls, and you want to go home and play cards with your mother?
Murray stepped closer to his comrade.
I never said I was scared of Nazis, and I only played cards with my mother that one time, you schmendrick.
Ethan held his belly and chuckled.
I know, but you can't blame me for bringing it up every time I want you to do something. It's too good of a story to let go.
I assume you also curl your hair and paint each other's nails, too?
Murray blushed and slapped his friend on the shoulder.
You're such an ass.
Have you come up with a name yet? You can't introduce yourself as Murray.
I have a few ideas.
What are you going as?
Ethan straightened his posture and put his fist on his waist.
Tonight, I will be Stomping George.
Murray struck a swing dance pose, hunching over and pointed one finger at the ground and one in the air.
I will be Count Django.
Ethan flashed his tobacco-stained teeth.
I love it. Nice blend of Count Basie and Django Reinhardt. Now, let's go meet some cute jazz catses.
Murray tilted his hat.
Agreed. Let's go meet some fine swing puppas.
The two young men linked arms and said in unison,
A one, a two, you know what to do.
They laughed as they fell into lockstep with each other and marched down the dark alley. They cautiously twisted down a maze of filthy passages until they arrived at an inconspicuous door. Ethan, or Stomping George, looked over his shoulder to confirm they were alone and then knocked softly. A loud whistle came from the other side of the entrance. The first few notes of It Don't Mean a Thing filled the air. Ethan whistled back, If It Ain't Got That Swing. The door creaked open, and the young men quickly shuffled in. A skinny boy in a tan three-piece checked their lapels.
Hold on, I don't see your pins. What club do you dance with?
Ethan nervously inspected his jacket.
Sorry, Charlie, we didn't know you had to be a club member to hop tonight. Can you grease us in and let us slide?
The gatekeeper inspected the two's outfits.
Well, you're dressed like you know how to cut. Go on in, but try and find a club soon.
Murray tipped his large-brimmed hat, and the two moved down a dark staircase. Once out of earshot, Murray asked,
How did you know his name was Charlie?
Ethan rolled his eyes.
Charlie is a swing term you use when you don't know a fella's name. It's just like calling a girl Sam when you don't know her name yet.
What was the Charlie at the door talking about when he was trying to find a club pin on us? What's a club?
I forgot to tell you about it. Most of these illegal dances are put on by different swing clubs around town. They wear different kind of lapel pins to signify which club they belong to. The groups don't care much for independent nomads like what used to come and flirt with their dames.
Murray shook his head.
There's so much to learn to be a Hepcat.
They turned a corner and sounds of a crowd echoed down the hall. The thumping of feet stomping resonated down the floor. A blast of steam, heat, noise, and light enveloped them as they entered the main room. Murray sucked in a quick breath and surveyed the unbelievable scene. The dirty brick floor was covered with sawdust that was being kicked up into the air by the stomping feet. A large, heavy oak radio in a wooden cart was blaring music to its capacity. A makeshift wire antenna ran through a hole drilled in the roof. Murray's eyes grew large as the flash of garter belts and twirling dresses filled his view. His counterpart licked his lips and smacked Murray on the shoulder.
Hot damn, I told you this club would be jumping!
A fellow swing kid walked by the two and nonchalantly greeted them.
Swing high!
Ethan nodded back.
Swing low!
Murray pulled a glass flask out of his coat and stole a nip. He passed the swig to Ethan and then took another drink himself.
Okay, so how does this all work? How do you get a girl to dance with you?
Ethan pointed.
All right, you need to know the rules of a club like this. First, you gotta understand the flow. Do you see how the dance floor is pretty much a designated area? On the sides, you'll see some swing cats sitting at tables taking a break or at the bar having a drink.
Now, look at the edge of the dance floor. Do you see those girls standing close watching the dancers? Those are the Sams who want to be asked to dance. If a woman doesn't want to dance, she won't be hanging so close to the floor. Instead, she'll be seated or getting a drink.
Murray nodded and pointed at the group of loitering ladies. I see what you mean now, but why are some of them holding little yellow pieces of paper?
Those are dance cards. Since a Sam meets so many people in a night, it can be hard to make sure she dances with everyone she wants to. A Charlie can book a dance with her ahead of time, so she'll save him a song. Some of the real tasty Sams will have a full dance card before she even gets here.
Murray took off his hat and scratched his head. This is a lot to learn just to meet a girl.
Ethan pointed to the dance floor. Alligator, you just don't even know. There's also unseen etiquette rules you've got to follow, too. Look over there at that cat with the red and black tie.
I know this cat, and he has been marked.
Marked? Yep, just watch what happens when he asks these Sams to dance.
The young man in the black and red tie approached the group of dancers in waiting. The herd protected itself and closed ranks, immediately forming a circle and turning their backs to the predator. The young women pretended to talk and acted like none of them saw him hunting them. He finally grew bold, tapped one on the shoulder, and asked her to dance. She shook her head no, and so did the rest of her friends. The teen stomped off in anger and headed to the bar.
Ethan said, "Do you understand now? He's marked. The word's out, and no woman here will even talk to him. The Sams refer to him as Hans McGee, if you know what I mean."
"Oh, you mean he tried to get himself a handful while they danced?"
"You got it. Always be a gentleman out here, or you will get marked. Never let your palms wander or try to kiss them. All it takes is just one time, and you will never find a dance partner again. Swing dolls around here have an intelligence network that puts Hitlers to shame, so watch your manners."
Ethan pointed to a group of dancers forming in a circle.
"Ah, you're in luck. It looks like these jazz catses are about to do a shim-sham."
The young women moved to one side of the circle and the men to the other. The most experienced dancer barked out the names of the moves and the group moved their bodies in synchronized motions. The ladies laughed when the barker called a move that made them peck their heads like a chicken. Murray and Ethan smiled at each other as they watched a pair of girls enjoy themselves. Ethan extended a finger.
"Look at that kitten wearing the pants. She's so modern."
Murray skimmed his fingertips across his jawline. "She's a tchotchka and a real looker, but who's that Sam with her? Look at her hair. It's like a Hollywood starlet. We need to get on their dance card." The song rose to its climax and the circle of swing kids collapsed in on itself. Murray wiped the sweat beading on his forehead and put his cover back on his head. "All right, I think I got all the rules. Let's go meet some Sams." The two linked arms and chanted, "A one, two, you know what to do," and strutted toward the circle of ladies. Ethan walked toward one of the girls and bowed.
"Excuse me, ladies, would anyone like to add a name to their dance card?"
A girl wearing pants and slathered with rouge pointed at Murray, still linked up elbow to elbow.
"It looks like your dance card's already full, Charlie."
The gang of girls cackled as both men blushed and quickly let go of each other. The girl in slacks and heavy makeup offered her hand.
"Come on, Charlie. I'll cut a rug with you."
He tipped his large brimmed hat.
"Let's activate, Sam!"
Ethan took her hand and flashed Murray a smile. Murray pointed his palms toward the ceiling. His expression said, "What about me?" Ethan pointed his head at a stunning girl in a flowered dress and an elaborate hairstyle. The girl in the floral pattern saw the covert communication and grinned at Murray. Red flushed his cheeks as he realized she had seen the desperate exchange. He bowed like he saw Ethan do, and his fedora flew off his head and smacked her in the nose. The lid rolled down her chest before settling between her feet. He turned another shade of crimson and reached for the cap now resting under her dress. Before it was too late, Murray realized it might be rude to just reach underneath a lady's dress and pulled his hand back. Heidi reveled in his pain and took advantage of the situation.
"I'm confused, Charlie. Are you trying to tell me I need a hat with this outfit?"
She lifted the fedora over her head and feigned that she would put it on.
"Are you trying to tell me you don't like my hair? I spent a long time working on it. I'm not sure I should cover it up."
She turned to the circle of girlfriends watching the scene go down.
"What do you cats think? Hat or no hat?"
The group of young women playfully debated the fashion issue as Murray squirmed. After making him suffer long enough for her amusement, Heidi stood up and placed the wide-brimmed cap back on his wet forehead.
She moved in close to him and stared him in the eyes while she adjusted the hat so it was stylishly tilted off kilter.
"Now you look like you're all ready to Lindy, alligator. Are you ready to activate?"
Murray got lost in her deep green eyes. They had hints of green flakes that seemed to catch the light just right to sparkle in such a dimly lit room. He gawked at her and took in the rest of her face. Thick cheekbones were dotted with just a sprinkle of freckles and heavily covered with a glitter dust. He was taken aback to see her Hollywood hairstyle. Her hair was curled and hung freely, unlike the restrictive braids he saw almost all German women wear. His lower lip hung as he soaked in her seductive, flowery scent. She sensed his bewilderment and stepped back.
"Hey, Charlie, cool off there, Hepcat. Are we going to cut a rug, or are you just going to stand there with your feet nailed to the floor?"
Murray stood still and did not know how to answer. Heidi grabbed his hand and dragged him to the dance floor. She shouted over the noise,
"What style of swing do you want to dance?"
The young man shrugged his shoulders.
"Well, you're leading. You have to pick the style, Hepcat. Do you just want a triple step? That should get us jumping."
He grinned and took in the full length of her flower print, breast-enhancing dress, down to her hose-covered legs. She took that response as a cue and started to shuffle her feet. It took Murray a minute to catch up, but he finally mirrored her steps. Although he had been practicing hard with Ethan, it did not prepare him for dancing with a real girl. He did not count on being so distracted by her beauty and lost his footwork over and over. Heidi yelled over the noise,
"I assumed you knew how to dance because you're dressed all togged to the bricks. You've been all thumbs for feet. Come on now, watch the rhythm."
Murray counted in his head, triple step, rock step, over and over. He looked away from her eyes so he could concentrate on his footing.
"Charlie, aren't you going to at least spin me? All we've been doing is repeating the same basic steps for half the song."
He lifted his arm on the wrong beat and Heidi awkwardly followed. He stepped forward into her and kicked her in the shin. The young woman yelped, but pushed through the pain and kept dancing. He tried spinning her again, but went off on the wrong count and knocked her off balance. Her forehead tightened, and she glared at her partner. He was losing her. He had to recover fast. He gambled and opened her up into a side-by-side Charleston. Both partners were standing hip to hip and kicking in matched rhythm. A smile reappeared on her soft face, and he smirked at the sight. He thought, "She likes this. Now, what do I do? I know how to get into the Charleston, but I forget how to get her out. Maybe this song will end and we can just stop." As the two repeated the same moves continuously, the smile fled from her face. He knew he had to act fast to salvage the dance and decided to just make up his exit move. On the last step of the pattern, Murray launched himself directly in front of her. The movement threw them both off and they tumbled to the dirty floor. He felt her body against his as they laid on the ground. Her perfume wafted down to him, and her curls hung over his face. Those perfect cheeks rested just an inch from his lips. The fall could have broken his back, and he wouldn't have cared. The crippling injury would be worth it just to be this close to her radiance. She noticed the faint outline of a paw print on his lapel and shoved him off. Heidi bounced back to her feet. She shouted,
"We're done here! Go home and practice!"
"Wait, I'm sorry, I'm still new at this. Give me another chance." The woman in the floral dress ignored his pleas and headed for the group of chuckling girlfriends. Murray stood up and brushed the dirty sawdust off his zoot suit, hung his head, and sauntered off toward the bar. He ordered a warm beer and toasted his own defeat. His eyes scanned the dance floor, and he took in all the smiling faces. He raised his drink and took another nip and thought, "Damn. I've really got to practice more if I'm ever going to find a good girl. All the good ones can really dance." Ethan interrupted his brown study and slapped him on the shoulder.
"There you are! Whew! That Sam wore me out! She can really hop! How'd your Sam do?"
Well, we had fun, I guess."
"You guess? What happened, alligator?"
Murray offered his drink to his friend.
"I crashed and burned like the Hindenburg. She thought since I was dressed so jiggy, I actually knew how to dance. Dancing with her was a lot different than practicing in a mirror. She was just so stunning. I couldn't think about anything but her fancy hair and tight dress. That Sam had some real curves on her, Hepcat."
Ethan chugged the rest of the libation, then said,
"Rookie mistake! You're too eager. Gotta play it as smooth as a Hollywood swing poppin'."
Murray hung his head and bit his lower lip.
"I know. I don't even know her name, but I felt something. Something's special about that one. I bombed out there and ruined everything.
Ethan pulled Murray's chin up. I don't want to hear about this for the next 3 months every time we have a drink. I will go dance with her and try to fix this for you.
Murray's eyes sparkled. Really?
If you really felt something special, then how could I live with myself if I didn't? Let me do my magic, Hotter. Let me see if I can get this jazz kitten to purr for you.
Ethan clicked his heels in a playful motion and headed Heidi's direction. After a search, he found her fanning herself and talking to the girl in the slacks he had just danced with. He bowed and tipped his hat toward Heidi.
I'm Stomping George. Could I interest you in a dance?
Heidi turned to Renati.
What do you think?
Renati put her hands in her pockets and leaned back. Well, Stomping George hopped pretty swell. I say yes, give him a spin.
Heidi glared at him. I don't know. I got pretty fooled by his friend.
Trust me, Heidi, you'll have a much better go with him compared to the last one.
Heidi offered her hand. Okay, Hepcat, let's burn a rug.
He gently clasped onto her fingers.
Thank you, Heidi. Let's activate.
The two dodged and weaved until they found a clear spot in a musty corner.
Is it all right if I call you Heidi? I heard your friend call you it, and I'm getting a little tired of calling everyone Sam.
Thanks for asking, Stomping George. Yes, that would be proper. My friend you danced with is named Renati.
She said you kept up pretty well, so let's see what you got.
He counted off.
5, 6, 7, and activate!
The two fell into lockstep and spun in a circle.
He shouted over the music, My partner feels really bad about how that dance went down.
She kicked left, then right.
That cat had hooves, but he tried. Both snickered, and Ethan said, Well, that's kind of my fault. I'm trying to teach him to dance, and he thinks he's a good bit better than he really is.
Heidi kept moving her feet, but started seeing a flash of the muddy paw print on Murray's jacket in her mind. She scanned Murray's suit while he sat moping at the bar. His white pants were stained at the calf, and he wore a large brimmed white fedora like Ethan's. She twirled under his arm and rocked back.
Well, he was a looker, but a bit quiet. If you train him more, I'll give him another spin.
He bent over and shook his finger toward the ceiling as he circled her.
You just blew some sunshine his way. He will be hopping all week now. When's the next dance, anyway?
She rock-stepped and kicked.
I think it is back here in 2 days. You think you can get his hooves to turn to feet by then? You bet I can. Add Count Django to your dance card.
The music on the radio quieted down, and an advertisement for British soap started.
Thanks for the spin, Jazz Katza. What do you say you come wet your whistle with us?
Heidi Heisenberg looked over at Renati, who was pointing at the rundown clock on the wall.
Sorry, Stomping George. We got a date elsewhere. See you at the next dance.
Heidi joined up with her friend, and they hastily retreated from the club. Ethan shuffled his feet and danced his way back to Murray at the bar.
You are buying the next round, Sving Heine.
Murray picked his head up and his eyes gleamed.
What happened, Hotter?
Tell me everything she said.
Drink first, my friend.
Ethan pointed at the bartender. Murray rummaged through his pocket, dug out a silver coin, and waved the bartender down. He tapped his foot impatiently while the man poured a frothy, warm liter of beer. Ethan grinned at his friend's distress as he watched the mug fill slowly. The man pouring stopped 3/4 of the way and let the foam settle down back into the stein. Murray let out an impatient groan.
Just hand it over. That will do just fine.
The bartender raised an eyebrow.
No, I would not want to cheat you out of what you paid for. It will only take another minute.
Murray spun around and shook his friend by the shoulders.
Just tell me what she said.
Ethan toyed with him just a little longer and pulled out a hand-rolled cigarette out of a silver case.
I wish I could tell you, but my mouth is too dry.
He struck a match and ignited the tobacco. Murray threw his arms in the air and then returned to watching the drink slowly fill to the rim. The bartender beamed with pride.
Now that is a perfect pour.
Murray snatched the handle and thrust the beer into his friend's hands.
Wet your whistle and start singing.
Ethan took an exasperatingly slow chug and let out a belch of satisfaction.
She said she would give you another chance at the next dance, but she charged me with fixing your footing before then.
Murray danced a little Jewish jig of joy.
Hopping, my man, hopping. I'll practice so much I'll burn the pattern into the floor.
Ethan stood, grabbed his wrist, and whispered,
Settle down, my friend. Don't forget where we are.
Murray stopped shuffling, but gleamed with joy. The two shared a drink as they watched the dance floor.